right. Now let's turn to our Bibles, please, to Isaiah 42. Someone once said you have to relate to people when you get up to speak, make a connection. How many people like hamburgers? So now we're connected. We built a relationship. So we're going to look at Isaiah 42, and then we're going to read in the Gospels where this particular prophecy is stated in the Gospels. And I believe that the Lord wants to do some good things in the midst of us today. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, which quickens the Word of God to us. We thank you, Father, that you have made promises to us that are new every day, and that you speak to us, Lord, and you draw us deeper into a relationship with you. We're very thankful for that today, Father. In all things we give thanks, Father, and ask that you take your word and bless it and work through it to change us for your sake, Lord. Thank you for today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Isaiah 42. And we're going to read, start at verse 1. We're going to read to verse 13. Those are the verses we're going to cover. And then we'll take a look in Matthew. So verse 1 says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says the Lord, or God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and now and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you them. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them. Let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies." Verse 1 starts with the talking about Jesus as being the servant of servants. And he's talking here about the Messiah who is to come, which is Jesus. And he says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights." And God is speaking of Jesus. God's soul, the essence of who he is, his breath, his love, is towards Jesus, and he delights in him. It's an awesome thing to think that our Savior is so loved by the Father. Those who are fathers know your deep love for your sons, so do you moms, probably moms a little bit more sometimes, a little less, we don't know. But the love that we have for our children is everything, it's essence of who we are. It's deep within our spirits. And God says that I have that same depth towards my son who is the servant. And then we get to see a little bit of the character of Jesus here in the way that he ministers. It says he will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. So the suggestion here in the scripture is that he doesn't go around bleating not bleeding, bleating like a sheep, and trying to get his voice heard, or stand there waving his hand. Some of you that have seen children sometimes in the mall, the other day, this one child, he was relentless. I want that, 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 I want that. I want that, I want that. And then you take a breath and keep going. Sometimes you want to intervene, don't you? Just go, hey, look, kid, your mom's not getting it for her. Leave her alone. But when we look at this scripture, it's not crying out. Jesus himself is not raising his hand, look at me. He comes as a servant, and it's meekness and humility that he wears on his spirit and who he is by design. And when he comes, when he came to this earth as a servant, we know this to be true, because a lot of times, what did Jesus tell his followers? Do not speak of me. Do not share. So what is the purpose or the reason for that? Well, I believe that God wants to show us his character, and that part of who the king is that he's a servant of servants. And his heart is one of meekness and humility. That's something that is really difficult for man to get a hold of, because we want to be assertive. We have assertive training. Some of us are bipolar, so we sometimes are aggressive and then non-aggressive. Our pride gets in the way. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. And yet God approaches with humility and a quietness and a strength. Long ago, a man taught me what meekness means. It means strength under control. And so in the case with Jesus is that he is approaching things with meekness and humility. And there's a reason for that, because I believe that God can get very far with those two attributes working in our hearts. You and I need to carry those particular attitudes or the character of Christ if we want to go far. It's contrary to the world, which says that you need to be aggressive. This one says to be meek and to be humble. And so we see how Jesus ministers. It says here, a bruising reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. And so this is obviously something we don't know much about, because why is a reed bruised? And I don't know if we have flax candles at home. Maybe you do. But in the old, in these ancient times, a broken reed is like when, you know, when you take grass and you put it between your fingers and you make that blowing sound? Well, back then there was reeds all over the place. So someone would pluck a reed out and, you know, play a little tune on it. But what happens when it breaks? It's no good, right? I'm not a musician, but if the reed's broken, it don't sound good. Okay? So what would they do? Like the grass that doesn't burrow properly, what do you do with it? Throw it away. You crush it. In those cases, you crush it, because guess what? There's another one. Grab it right away. How many are glad that God didn't crush us? That we were probably not worth very much. And in terms of finding other people, there's probably, and I think this is one of the things when you get saved, is you kind of wonder, why did he choose me? You look around at some of the people that you hang around with, a lot more talent, a lot more to offer, a lot more humble, a lot less sinful. And yet God chooses a broken reed, and he does not destroy it. And though it's delicate and can be broken easily, he's not here to break it. And the next one is smoking flax he will not quench. So when they put out a fire, a little smoking flax candle, the smoke would rise to the top as it kind of cooled off. Well, that was stinky. It smelled. So you wanted to quench that as quick as possible, because you didn't want that smell to get out there. It's like a stinky candle when it's gone out. Are you applying this to your life yet?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stink around us. Let Dan figure that out, but not at this particular moment, hopefully. But there was a smell to us, something that burned and gave off a bad odor. And I think about that in terms of my life before I was saved. I was not nice to be around. My language, right? the way we talked about God, the way we talked about people, the way we treated each other. And in this case, the Lord again says that he's not going to put that out. He's not going to quench that. He's going to reach into the heart of somebody. And that's the beautiful thing about who Jesus is. Because they said that he hung out with sinners and wine bibbers. He wasn't snuffing these guys out. He was reaching into their lives. So why does he use this particular approach? Well, because the people need to not be broken and they need to be themselves so that they can come. Also, we need to recognize that we're sinners. If you don't recognize that you're a sinner, that you're a smoking flax, and when you come in front with the holiness of God, then you're going to change and conform to the holiness of God because you realize that you're a smoking flax and that you're a bruised reed. And the only way that you can get that fixed is by a Savior. That you need to get saved. You need to get yourself out of that condition. Live in a world that won't recognize that they're bruised. And they won't recognize that the odor they're giving off is not good. I live in a society where there's very low class actions on the part of a lot of people. The way they talk or scream or yell or just, it's craziness. I was witnessed this girl was texting and drove into the back of this guy. And so I decided I was going to be a witness. She didn't want me to be a witness. She wasn't saying, amen, thank you, brother, for your testimony. She was ugly. Not facially, but ugly. And the stuff that she was saying to me. And I thought, how does a 25-year-old girl act like she's a trucker? Sorry, you're a trucker, you're redeemed. Okay. But why? Is she talking like that to me on the street? Just mean. And I guess she didn't like the fact that I saw her text and drive into the back of somebody. But this is the character of the world, but the character of Jesus is different. In verse 4 it says, he will not fail, nor be discouraged. Here's the cool thing, obviously, about Scripture, is guess what the word fail is? It's the same word as smoking flax. And guess what the word discouraged is? The same word as crushed reed. So, though Jesus ministers to these things, he is neither of these two things. He is not a broken reed, and he's not a smoking flax. In fact, those words could also be translated as pale and feeble. And for the longest time, the interpretation by artists of Jesus is this very ethereal, I think I hope I said that right, very pale, feeble-looking person. I don't think he was anything close to that. And he went to turn over a temple full of people's tables. They're making a living. Then you have to be able to have the strength. So though he ministers to these things, he's none of these things. He is not feeble and he's not pale. He's meek and humble. And all those imply strength, not weakness. And so when we see that, why is he doing it? Well, in verse 4 it says, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Establishing justice here gives the implication that Jesus is trying to germinate justice and righteousness in people. So when you slam them or go too hard on them, it doesn't allow it to germinate. You have to plant seeds, and you have to bring it along. So a lot of times when we go to reach people, we need to have that kind of a spirit, and it may take a while. I wish we could just all call them sinners and they'd come to repentance. But it doesn't always happen that way. It takes some time. Because he wants to establish his justice in the earth, because he wants them to come and walk in the fullness of God. How many are glad that he germinated a few things and planted himself in you? Because it's a long-term deal that he's interested in your life. And here it says the coastlands shall wait for his law. Well, coastlands is actually a kind of a word used for anybody that was outside the Jewish realm. So there was a certain distance that there were kind of Jews all over that, the world. And these guys, the coastlands was anybody in the outlying areas, right? So if you think of like the Hawaiian Islands, never been there, but there must be little islands where they're inhabited, right? But they're kind of out there, right? But those people are still inhabitants. They still need to be touched. And so this is awesome because he's trying to establish in some of the outlying areas. Can you read between the lines?
Yeah.
But the Lord wants you to reach into communities, into people's lives that maybe the gospel's never been into. I work as a chaplain for the hockey team, the Calgary Hitmen. And there's a whole area of prayer that's needed there. A whole, if you want to call it a tribe or a nation, that needs to have ministry, right? And so we need to understand that. So this is the servant of servants. And then it says, that says the Lord that created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and the spirit, the spirit to those who walk in it. What he's basically saying is that I also have a relationship with these people on the earth. I've created and breathed into it. So, and I put this creation on earth, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to send a Savior to it. I'm going to send the Messiah to it. And that's what he says here. I, the Lord, have called you. And you'll see that it's capitalized, right? So it's not talking about me. It's talking about Jesus. He says, I, the Lord, God, have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand, and I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. In other words, I'm giving you as a Messiah to the people, because the people need to have the hand of God upon their lives. And as he does that, he anoints them to do good things and to do all kinds of works. For example, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from prison, and those who sit in darkness from the prison house. And as I was reading that today, it just struck me. Those who have been in certain prisons, even though they're free from the prison, guess what? They're still living in the darkness of that prison. So Jesus has come to give them light and to bring them to that place. And so he has put, God himself has put his son in a position to reach to the people that he has breathed life into a world that he spread out to the heavens. He has sent his Savior to the people. And it says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. And so, if we know one thing, and I talk to people about Christianity and being saved, God puts all, his whole plan is on Jesus. That's it. So it's important to him. He's the Savior. There's no works. There's nothing else that gets you to heaven, because God's plan was one plan only, that he sent his only son. That's the plan. There's not alternatives or side plans or kind of mixed up plans. There's one plan, and all that weight that he puts on it is in the Savior. So he's not going to receive our religion. He's not going to receive our pride. He's not going to receive what we set up as to be what we believe is the kingdom of God. It has to be him, because he does not give his glory to anything else but himself. And to carved images and anything else, these things are not in his plan. And he says here, the new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you them. We'll look at that a bit further when we check into the gospel. And so what is the result of all this? Well, as establishing in the world, establishing his glory, he's also talking about, now that I've established it or I've germinated it, I'm planting it. I'm establishing it. And when God established something, he also will back it as a man of war. You get me? So though he comes as a servant, humble and meek, to never be fooled that there is an inherent power in this man, Jesus Christ, that he will protect and he will take care of his church and he will make it happen. It is his work. And so when he establishes it, he plants it and he brings righteousness and judgment. And so as you grow as a church and you are planted in righteousness and justice, start to sing a new song. Sing a new tune that we're not small. Sing a new tune. We are mighty in God, and the man of war will say and speak. And this is interesting because I like it a lot, because I guess it's from the old football coach type things I received. I like the man of war cry, because there is, even though he doesn't bleat like a sheep, he speaks as a man of war. I have a nephew, he's kind of a knucklehead. Hopefully that doesn't get onto the internet, but anyway. I think he has his own site, imanucklehead.com. But anyway, I love him a lot. But he started, it was Friday, he started saying some stuff to his aunt, my wife. And I looked at him and I said, you're not going to speak like that. And he had this kind of, you know, she's my auntie. And then he started looking at me like, I think my uncle is going to kill me. And I said, no. Well, she's my aunt, we can teach. No, I said, you're not doing it. That's my wife. You're not going to do it. And he's kind of got this nervous laughter. When you know, and I'm not a scary guy. I'm a meek and mild and humble person. But he knew. No time to mess. And then he said to my wife privately, he goes, he's like really uptight about that. Like, she goes, well, you want to go there? No. And this is, the Lord is like this, because he wants to establish his justice. So it says, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them. Let the wilderness and the cities lift up their voice, and villages that Kedar inhabits, the inhabitants of Selah sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. In other words, it goes to all these different areas. To the what we said before, the coastlands, to all these different inhabited places. Kedar and Selah are in the middle of the desert. Okay, you understand me? So he's reaching to every single point. And he says, let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. In other words, once he's established that work, watch the new song that they sing. Isn't that awesome, the miracle of God, when he works in people's lives? We've been very fortunate in RMCC is to work with guys from the Dream Center in Calgary. And some of our leadership that does the work there are incredible men of God. And so they bring these guys to church. And we had one just recently got baptized. And he spoke and shared how he lived in stairwells. And moved from stairwell to stairwell. And lived this hard, hard life. And then he's standing up and singing a new song. Reached into an inhabited area, a coastland, and all of a sudden, guess what? There's a new song in the voice of this man. Because the Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. And he shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. So here we see, before, pick me, see me, right? Shout. Speak in the street doesn't do this. But when he speaks as a man of war, a man of determination, a man who will take his justice in his place. And when he establishes these places, then his name is lifted up and the Lord is exalted in the place that he should be. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11 and we're going to see the fulfillment of the scripture. We'll go quickly, hopefully. And then at this particular passage. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, we're going to do the lead-in, the quotation of this particular verse in Isaiah 42, as it's manifest, as it's brought forth in the life of Jesus. So this is 11:20. So if you have your Bibles there, there's a little heading there, woe to the impenitent cities. And here it says that Jesus was rebuking the cities. I'm going to do it quickly, but he says, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. In other words, this is the beginning of the fulfillment of Isaiah 42. It's because where is he reaching into? The cities that should embrace him are not. But where is he going? Into the inhabitants, the coastlands, establishing the law. And so places like Tyre and Sidon are going to be ones that walk in God. So this is a fulfillment of that Isaiah 42. And then it says, Capernaum, you are exalted to heaven. You're going to be brought down to Hades. This is verse 23. For if the mighty works were done in you had been done in Sodom, it will remain to this day. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So what is the Lord saying? The Kedars and the Selahs of this world, the places in the wilderness, they receive from me. Their hearts are right. They're established in righteousness. And those of you that have and know the fullness of God, you need to be able to repent and see what his mighty works are being done among you. And so for us, I think we can say, church, wake up to see what the Lord wants to do in the midst of his people. In verse 25 of Matthew 11, we see Jesus begins to speak and pray to the Father. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And here we see that relationship talked about in Isaiah, the relationship of the Son to the Father. Behold my servant, my elect, whom I love and in whom I delight. And then we get to see in verse 28 the meekness of who Jesus is. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank God for that. Isn't that a good verse? How many realize in there? You get a lot of people share about when they get saved that there's a lightness that comes to your soul. Because you cast all that heaviness of having to carry your life. And where does it get cast onto? The Lord, he sets us free. And so here's the beautiful part. The gentleness and the lowliness of heart, the meekness and the humility of Christ is prophesied in Isaiah 42. Moving on. In Matthew chapter 12, the first part is that the disciples go and pluck grains and eat. The Pharisees get all uptight about that. And Jesus has to remind them that God is the God of the Sabbath, and that he doesn't desire a big religious scene. But in verse 7 he says, if you'd known what this means, in other words in verse 6, one greater than the temple. You remember Isaiah 42? I will not give my glory to another, to carved images, to temples, to places of worship, to rules. I don't give my glory to that. I give my glory to my Son. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You would have not condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And so we realize here that Jesus is Lord of all, and even the Lord of the religious systems, and nothing is more important to God than his Son. And so he reaches into the hearts of these men who are hungry. It is the Sabbath, but let's not get hung up on that, right? He wants to reach people. And so sometimes we have to lay down our little parameters, our borders that we create, that don't actually belong to God. He doesn't have those borders. And we can see that, because he reaches the broken reeds and the smoking flax. Moving on. Verse 9, it says, there's healing on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. In this verse 10, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Jesus goes on to say, if a sheep falls into a pit, are you not going to pull him out? Is this man more value than on the sheep? So it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath and stretch out your hand, and then he was made whole. And this again is a fulfillment of Isaiah 42, where he will bring people out of darkness, those that have been imprisoned. Yeah? You get it? A man with a crippled hand is not living life to his fullest. A person that needs to be restored and brought back to a place where they can walk freely in the freedom of Christ. This is the work of Jesus. This is what he's came to the earth to do. He's come to set liberty to those who are captive. And as it says beautifully there, take out of darkness those who have come from the prison house. This is the ministry of Jesus, and he is actively living out Isaiah 42. He is the servant of servants, and he's going to serve a man whose hand is crippled, and it doesn't matter what day it falls on. Sorry. I'm going to reach into his life. And so as a result, we get this problem that exists. The Pharisees in verse 14 went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. And so to wrap up this particular passage, it says, "Behold my servant." But when Jesus knew it, and knew that they were going to plot against him, that they were going to destroy him, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known. I go back into Isaiah 42. One passage there that I just want to emphasize. Talking about a little bit of prophetic in verse 9 of 42. "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." And in other words, the Lord here is already knows where this path is going to take him. Right? He knows. And his time has not yet come. It's not the time for him to suffer at this particular point in time. But he knows what's springing forth. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's coming to pass. And so as he begins to do this ministry, we see the fulfillment of something that was spoken back in the time of Isaiah being fulfilled in the midst of the people now. The suffering servant, the servant of servants who was supposed to come, is manifest or making himself known. And he has all the characteristics that are found in Isaiah 42. But he's also talking about the future. How many know, this is where you can say amen, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? So here's the application, folks. He is the same servant today. And he's in the midst of his people. And just like on this day where it began to be fulfilled in their sight and they began to see his ministry, we ask that God by his Holy Spirit begins to manifest these things among us. His reaching the brokenhearted. His not putting out smoking flax. Us singing new songs. Us taking the word to the inhabited places, the coastlands, and the places that may be outside of our little realm that are further and deeper. These are the fulfillments that Jesus wants to do among his people. And so he says that I know what's going on in the past, and I'm going to know what's going on in the future. And in this case, right now, in this particular passage, in Matthew chapter 12, this is happening in the place. Remember Jesus said, and he got down, I think it's Luke chapter 4, where he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news." He preaches that and he goes, "Today this is fulfilled in your ears." Awesome. Isn't that awesome? Scripture. Right now. In the midst of you. See it? Now. It's here. Yeah. Jesus is the Messiah. So in verse 15, when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, because it wasn't time for him to raise up his voice. It wasn't time. He wasn't to raise his voice. He was to bring healing, as he did in this, but he was not to bring attention to it. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, and so we get to read this one more time. Isaiah 42, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, I will breathe my breath into him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. And his name, Gentiles, will put their trust." Awesome. He's bringing victory. And I thank the Lord for that. And it's victory upon victory upon victory in people's lives. So today, the question is, do you have the God's victory in your life? Are you allowing Him to minister to you? And you might be crying, Lord, 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 here am I, here am I. Let's bring it down. In faith, say, Jesus, I know you hear me. I know that you're not crushing me. Show me by your Spirit what you want me to do. He's here to minister to our hearts today, because that's His ministry. So I'm gonna, I'm not saying it's bold. I'm just gonna say, if I'm gonna do a group prayer, but if there's something that you want ministry for, and that you believe in faith today that this Jesus, whom I have spoken about today, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He wants to minister to your brokenness right now. It doesn't matter that we're Christians. We still get broken. We still sometimes are stinky. And we smoke. And we just need Him to come and minister to us. Because He says that that's His relationship with us. He created us. And He's going to uphold Jesus in this moment. He's going to honor Jesus. So if today, if you want prayer, and I don't know what it's for, but if you want a prayer, just stand to your feet, and I'm going to ask the Lord to come and just answer your prayer. So if you have something that you want prayer for, don't be shy. But stand to your feet, and I'll pray. Because I believe He's here to minister. See, the key to Christianity and the work of the Holy Spirit is, one, is faith. And the second is to yield. You understand that? We can have faith that the Holy Spirit will touch us, but what do we have to do? We've got to yield to that. You get me? A lot of people, I believe the Holy Spirit will touch me. Are you willing to yield? Are you willing to say, yeah, Lord, do this work? So in this moment, if you want to raise your hands to the Lord, or whatever you want to do in your hearts, and we're going to ask the Lord to meet us right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for the power of the living God. Each person that stands here today has different things that they have needs for. And we yield to Your Holy Spirit. We know that You're the minister. There's things that in our lives that we cannot control, that we do not have the ability to break or to shake or to make happen. And so we're feeling that we're on the side of the road, we've been crushed and tossed to the side. We thank You, Father, that You come today to minister. Father, do war for some of us here. Some of us are family members and friends are so caught up in the world that we need You to intervene, to be the man of war for us. And Father, just serve and help our wounded hearts today. I thank You, Father, that You will meet us and You'll come, and that You've anointed Jesus to be our Messiah in the moment, today. Meet us, Jesus, today. We thank You for that. Thank You for the power that's in Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, the scripture says when you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. There's not always a time frame given. So God may touch some of you instantly and you'll walk away and feel like there's something that came off of you today. And there's others of you, you're going to have to dig in a little bit and say, Lord, what do You want me to know? How do You want to establish? What do You want to plant in me that I need to have planted in me? You understand? It's good. Actually, Paul, can you come and do a song? And I think that's it. I don't know if there's anything else we need to do.
No, we'll just worship and
fellowship. And if you want prayer or just to sit and have a quick chat about something, we can maybe give you some more scripture. But take the word of the Lord and meditate upon it this week. Think about who He is as the Savior. So I appreciate Paul's going to, you'll know what to do. I hope. So Lord bless you all.
You know, our God is mighty, and we heard that in Scripture today, and we all agreed in one that our God is alive, and He's real, He is now, and He is mighty to save. And that's what we want to sing. If you're not standing, are you sitting or are you standing? Then don't sit.
house of benediction. So may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father above, may he bless you with all his blessings. May you walk in his presence, and at the end of this week you may say, I walked with God. I felt his presence. And so may the peace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ rest upon you and your family. May you live in good health and in the good heart of Christ working in you. And we thank you, Lord, for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Shake a hand. Love a person. Amen.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry for the distortion.
No,
How are you?
Yeah.